And welcome back to the Skullcast, where we are two brothers, Asher and Christopher Whitmer, who are Vikings fans who enjoy football and both have babies. If you watched our last episode where we aired our despair and grievances over the current state of the Vikings, you know that Christopher started it with his little girl. And now this episode, I'm starting mine. It's my little girl.
We're doing these when we can.
Yeah. We're not rearranging life necessarily for these podcasts. We're just trying to fit them in where we can. And sometimes that involves watching kids. Today, we're going to go through the rest of the league. And there were some significant games within the NFC North that are worth highlighting and discussing where things look as it compares to the league as a whole. Maybe, Christopher, maybe we should just jump off with the Packers-Commanders game. We said, again, I'm not sure how much we talked about this on air because we had recorded a batch before the Parsons trade, and then by the time we recorded again, things were heading into we were reflecting on week one, and so it wasn't quite the same. But my reflection on the Packers when the Parsons trade went down was that it's not going to solve the problems that keep them out of a Super Bowl, because I saw the problems being more about Jordan Love and his turnover rate than anything else. But as it turns out, the Packers have a really good defense, and Jordan Love is playing really good. I mean, Jordan Love is probably looking like one of the best, maybe top five, top three QBs in the league right now. What are your reflections on the Packers so far?
My Wi-Fi cut out there for a second, so I missed almost all of what you said.
Oh, sorry.
You're fine.
I was just kind of highlighting how I wasn't super concerned about the Parsons trade because I thought the bigger issue was Jordan Love and his turnover rate.
Sure. Yeah.
And I thought their defense still had some issues that weren't entirely solved with Micah Parsons being there, but they're looking really good right now. And so then I was curious what your thoughts are.
Yeah. They do look really good. And I think I have to just admit that I was wrong about them, and I think probably a big part of my doubts around Jordan Love probably had to do with his injury at the beginning of the season last year. He was playing at half capacity. Was that an ankle injury? I'm trying to remember. It doesn't really matter. It's interesting if it was, because that's what McCarthy will be dealing with the rest of the season now. Go ahead.
Well, I guess the thing, like, the Packers look especially good because the Lions went out and put 50 points up on the Bears.
Right.
I guess some questions that I have is, where are the teams that they've played? Where are they at in relation to, Commanders last year had weak defenses, and the Commanders don't look altogether there yet offensively, at least to the degree that they did last year. The Lions attributed miscommunication and stuff to their loss in the initial week. Like, was there something about the Lions not being fully calibrated and so forth? Have the Packers played a legit, and I'm not saying like the Packers are the best team in the division. I'm not trying to downplay. I'm just curious. We've seen the Eagles play a team that in two games looks like their offense is really good, and then playing the reigning AFC champions last week. So my point is, the Eagles played the Cowboys in week one. The Cowboys offense looks really good both in week one and week two. The Chiefs are the reigning champions, and they're going to be a good, tough team. So I guess my question is, how much do we read into these two wins so far?
Yeah, I think we can be cautiously optimistic about the Packers. On one hand, the Lions have always run up the score on weaker teams. Like last year, I remember we complained about that, where they would play better teams competitively, and then all of their blowouts came against teams with losing records. I think that's just off the top of my head. I don't remember for sure.
You're right. Yeah, it was very poor teams.
And so there's this degree to which it's like, all right, give the Lions a couple of weeks. We'll see how they play against better teams. But there was a lot emotionally at stake for the Lions against the Bears. And I think the Bears are just not a great team. And the Commanders are also decimated. So I mean, I say decimated, like maybe not necessarily decimated, but they're not quite who they were last year. And so we're still seeing who the Lions are and who the Commanders are. Both of those teams could turn out to not be great. Both of those teams could turn out to be really great. In either case, the Packers are either a really good team or like destined for the NFC Championship. And I would think that anything less than that would be mightily disappointing.
The thing that stands out to me about the Packers as compared to the Eagles, the reigning NFC champions, is the Eagles have looked a bit sloppy, whereas the Packers look really tight. And that's the thing that kind of stands out to me is, and sort of like the Eagles of last year where, you know, I just wasn't quite sure if they were actually playing teams that, yeah, they've won a few games here, but they lost to some more competitive teams. And then it just kind of stacked together. And by the end of the season, they were beating everybody. I think there's a good chance the Packers could be that way as well. It's like, yeah, we have some guesses, but I mean, just the eye test watching them play, the Eagles look like they need to, because they could have got twice, and the Packers weren't being got by anybody in their first two. They were very clean.
I mean, it's that whole thing we were talking about last year, experiencing with the Vikings, where it was like you need like great teams. Great teams can play good teams close, but they like dominate bad teams. And so there's this. Yeah, there's definitely this sense of like, either like they are buttoned up, they are tight, and they're winning like really commanding games, and that is usually a sign of, regardless of how good the Commanders or Lions turn out to be, the way the Packers are beating them, have beaten them, is probably a sign that they're like a pretty great team. Which is annoying.
Especially because Packers fans.
Packers fans are annoying.
Packers fans are brutal. Like there is no, even when they're bad, they're trash talking and no admitting to any errors or faults or the fact that another team in the NFC might be better. And so it's just like, ugh. Yeah.
That's because like about 90% of the Packers fans I interact with aren't even from the state. And
it's
so, they
so
don't
funny
have the
how
mid,
that happens.
They don't have the Midwestern, like Minnesota, Midwestern niceness that like Vikings and Bears fans have.
Why is that? Like what, why do, because that most of the Packers fans I know do not live, and I'm not aware that they ever lived in Wisconsin area.
I think it's just because the Packers are such an iconic team and have been relatively successful for like most. I mean, they won the first two Super Bowls. The trophy's named Lombardi. They've had like a 30-year run of being successful. So they're kind of like a small market Cowboys in many ways. Both Favre and Aaron Rodgers were a lot of fun to watch. And so if you're a kid somewhere and you don't really have a team that you're loyal to, you turn on the game and it's like, oh, that person's fun to watch. I think the Vikings have picked up some fans in a similar way because of, you know, having Randy Moss and Adrian Peterson, Dante Culpepper.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. So what about the Lions? The Lions go into the Chicago and everybody's eyes are on Ben Johnson. And they proceed to blow out Ben Johnson and his Bears 52-21. Jared Goff played like probably the best game of his career. 5 touchdowns, no turnovers, 23 for 27 or something like that.
That's crazy. I'm okay with this. I've garnered the last couple of years just an irritation at the Lions for being so good, but more than that, I like to see the Bears. People see the Bears for who I knew them to be. That's not to say that the Bears can't. I mean, to give the same sort of credit to the Bears that I'm giving to the Vikings, like, it's a long season. They could put it together and, you know, by the end of the year or by next year, they could be playing decently well. I just think it was ridiculous to come into the season thinking that they were going to be incredible. And so I thank the Lions for their service. But there's also this part of me that's like, yeah, this feels familiar to the Lions. Like, this feels how they play bad teams. And so, yeah, who do they play next week? Let's see.
They play the Cowboys. I expect.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
You know, another larger point.
High scoring.
Pointed run up. Yeah. Yeah, it's always fascinated me how much. Is there any other bad team or bad franchise? Like, both you and I watch the Rich Eisen show, and he's a big Jets fan. And so sometimes we feel like their show can get too much Jets attention. I don't know, like, nationally, I'm not sure that there's very many people who have ever really, maybe the first year when Aaron Rodgers went there, there was a little extra. But it's surprising to me how many people will give the Bears credit when they haven't proven anything yet. There's 3 other teams in the division that have proven more than what they're willing to give each of them credit for sometimes. And yet the Bears, like, yes, it's an exciting season, an exciting new era with someone like Ben Johnson working with Caleb Williams. But why did anybody have expectations significantly higher than what they were before? Just for comparison, last year the Lions beat the Bears 23-20 once and 34-17. So this is a bigger pummeling of the Bears than even last year was.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what that phenomenon. I mean, it's a similar phenomenon as the Cowboys. I'm guessing the Cowboys have just have done. I think the Cowboys, like, the belief in the Cowboys can come down to marketing. They've done a really good job at marketing the team. But for the Bears, I mean, I think they're just kind of in many ways, like Green Bay, they're an iconic franchise. They've been around forever. Chicago is one of the original NFL locations. And so, there's like just this deep desire to have the Bears be a dominant force in the NFL.
Okay. Let's go check out our good old friend, Sam Darnold in Seattle. Did not have a very pretty game in week 1. They pulled up a loss. I'm trying to see, on the wrong screen here. They lost to San Francisco, and it was kind of an ugly game on both sides. St. Louis. The Steelers had a really good game by all appearances. Rodgers threw like 4 touchdowns, and everybody's raving in week one. Yeah. Everybody's raving over Aaron Rodgers being back. And then they go into Seattle, and Aaron Rodgers cannot complete a touchdown pass, throws several interceptions. Is it 2 or 3? I'm just trying to look at here quickly. He threw 2 interceptions. He did get over 200 yards. Towards the end of the game, I had checked in at one point, and he had quite a ways under 200 yards. So I wonder if he had a drive there or something. I'm not sure. Sam Darnold threw 295 yards, 2 touchdowns. He did have 2 picks, which we all know comes with the territory with Sam Darnold. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts reflecting on that game? Is which Aaron Rodgers is the real Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, why do we even need to clarify? Like, we know who Aaron Rodgers is the last 3 years.
Yeah.
The 1 year he was injured. The year before that in Green Bay, he didn't play well. The year after that, he didn't play well.
So I think
it's a Pittsburgh team that is is kind of old and uninspiring, and they bring in an old and uninspiring quarterback. I'm not afraid of Aaron Rodgers, but maybe I'll eat those words.
I think that the storyline for me has less to do with the specific play of Aaron Rodgers, and it has more to do with the fact that 2 weeks in a row the Steelers defense has given up 30 plus points. What is that saying? So can Aaron Rodgers, when everything works out perfectly, and they played a Jets team, again, this is somewhat my bias, but I don't think the Jets have had just a superb defense, and I'm not convinced Aaron Glenn was actually that superb of a defensive coordinator in the grand scheme of things. Yes, they blew out bad teams, they held low teams, and then they held low bad teams to low scores, and then they surprised the NFL with what they did against the Vikings, held the Vikings below 10 points. And so maybe I'm not giving Aaron Glenn enough credit, but the Steelers look to me to have a defensive problem. You're going to have this roller coaster ride with Aaron Rodgers. I don't think Aaron ever scored more than 30 points with the Jets. So I guess it's nice to know that potentially when everything goes well, you could score more than 30 points.
Yeah.
But the Steelers are in trouble if they can't keep offenses, relatively nominal offenses, from running up the score to 24, 30 points.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about, so there's two more games that I'd like to highlight and kind of circle back to, but I guess the matchup of the week, perhaps that everybody was prepped for, it was the Super Bowl rematch with the Eagles and the Chiefs. Did you watch any of that game?
Not really. Did I watch any of it? I had to go in to work for like a couple of hours from 4 to 6:30, which is like right when the game was on, in Eastern time. So, I didn't watch much of it, but I mean, obviously I'm around Eagles fans, so I've definitely heard about it. It's interesting. I think that game is probably more a tale of warning to the Chiefs than it is like bolstering the Eagles. Like the Eagles probably should have beaten the Chiefs a lot more soundly, I would think. But
yeah, it's I don't know. I mean, it's one of those games where I kind of came away a little bit like, I don't know that we can tell anything. Like these are both great franchises in the sense that they've played through adversity. They've had parts of seasons where nobody thought they looked like where few people thought they looked like Super Bowl contenders, and then they end up in the Final Four or in the Super Bowl. And so early on in the season, I'm not going to draw too many conclusions, but the Chiefs were out. Like they're out some significant players. They're out a wide receiver core. And so is it?
Yeah.
I mean, one way you could look at it, I thought the Chiefs would win because I thought both of them had similar week ones. And then this is Chiefs at home. Like, surely they're going to win. Maybe like the score flip-flopped. It's a close game. Chiefs win 20-17 or something.
Yeah.
But instead, it's the other way around. The Eagles win. And the more, like when just watching, I watched about a quarter of the game. I was kind of in and out a little bit. So I did not watch, you know, at most I watched a fourth of it. But it wasn't even because I was in and out throughout the quarter. But the drives that I saw, on one hand, yeah, it's like, okay, so the Eagles in a way should have beaten them more. But then also when you look at how injured, how shallow the Chiefs are on some of their offensive pieces, that's also kind of impressive that they were like, maybe I wasn't being realistic that they could even get 20 points to begin with. But
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the Chiefs are in big trouble.
They've never started their 0-2 with Patrick.
Yeah. Williams. And technically are on a 3-game losing streak. I don't think Travis Kelce looks like he's at retirement age. I mean, it's the type of thing. Maybe he needs half a season to get into like practice, you know, which is often what great players do. Go ahead.
Sure. Well, he looks like a guy that gets enough money in other places. He doesn't have to be playing football for money, and he's getting married here soon.
Yeah.
Like he just doesn't. And he's on top of what you said about him being at retirement age. Like,
yeah,
this is,
yeah, like I don't think he quite has it physically anymore, and doesn't seem quite mentally. Like the thing that older players bring to the game is just being like mentally, like, you know, the game super well, you're clocked in. So even if you can't keep up with the younger guys quite as much, you're able to beat them mentally. And yeah, it doesn't seem like he quite has it, but you know, great teams figure it out. And so maybe talk to us in December and we'll see, maybe they figured it out. I mean, the Patriots famously would often take quite a while to like get things together. I know Bill Belichick had a saying that the season doesn't start till after Thanksgiving. I think that's actually a Parcells phrase maybe, but so it, you know, there is like this thing of like, you're kind of figuring out what your identity is by the time Thanksgiving rolls around, you've figured it out, and you can kind of see the serious teams. So if the Chiefs and the Eagles are who we think they are, they'll probably figure it out at some point.
Yeah, exactly. So what about on the flip side, the Chargers have started out strong. They beat the Chiefs. The Chiefs are 0-2. The Chargers are 2-0. The Chargers beat the Raiders 20-9 this week. I was going to say Jalen Hurts. Justin Herbert has been playing very well. Is this the year where the Chiefs are dethroned? There were people predicting the Chiefs would be dethroned, but they were also predicting that the Broncos would be the one to dethrone them. And nobody, I'm not aware. I think I watched four different episodes that were like picking the division winners from four different shows, and none of them picked the Chargers to win the division. Are the Chargers one of the most slept on teams in the NFL right now?
I mean, I certainly slept on them.
I think they, you said have, that exact, like, same thing last week.
Oh, did I?
I just listened to a portion where you said that. Yeah. Keep going. Keep talking.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think I was still sleeping on them. It's hard. It's kind of the reverse of what we were talking about with Kansas City, where it's like, I remember a couple of years ago, Kyler Murray and the Cardinals went 11-0 and got bounced in the first week of the playoffs. And so there's kind of this degree with the Chargers and the Chiefs where it's like, Chargers could win that AFC West. They certainly have a head start, like a pretty significant head start, especially over KC, because they beat KC. So like the worst that they can do now is draw with Kansas City, or have a 2-game lead over them. And they've also beaten Las Vegas. And so they, I mean, to me, it seems like the Chargers are probably the most likely to win that division. But whether or not that will lead to playoff success is kind of like, I mean, Kansas City is one of those teams that basically all they have to do is make it to the playoffs and they're going to be in the AFC championship. Just because in those moments, it's like, if you can make it into the playoffs, then you just have to win every single game. And by then you're in tip top shape and your team is clicking, hopefully. And if you're Kansas City, that's usually how it is. If you're the Chargers, that hasn't been how it is. And so kind of have to wait and see. I think that they deserve us paying attention to them, but we'll see, I guess.
Did they win a playoff game last year, or they played KC right away?
That was when, wasn't it Herbert that threw like four interceptions? He threw more interceptions in that one game than he had all season.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing that I think we're going to, like, we know Harbaugh has the ability to lead his teams to championships at the NFL level. He's made it to Super Bowl. At the college level, he's won championships. Herbert and what he does in big games is kind of the X factor, the big question mark at this point. So it'll be interesting. Yeah. I do think, kind of dovetailing on that though, I think we should be careful with this narrative that all KC needs is to get in and then they're good. because they do seem significantly more fragile. And yeah. Reed, like, there were some play calls in the game against the Eagles, the part that I happened to be there for, that I thought seemed abnormal for Reed. And I've seen other people talking about it a little bit as well. Again, like you said, it's the second week, so let's talk after Thanksgiving. Right. But it is a new start for that division, and it'll be interesting to watch how it unfolds. So yeah. Maybe we'll wrap up by highlighting the Vikings have become kind of known, or specifically Kevin O'Connell has become known for quarterback rehabilitation, helping guys go further than they could before. Daniel Jones sat on the Vikings 53-man roster for what? Was it 6 weeks to end the season?
It was a significant amount of season, yeah.
Never played in a game. I believe, was he eligible? I think he was eligible for
Yeah, he was elevated for the playoff game, I think, because that's how they got the draft pick for him. The compensation.
That's right,
pick.
Yeah. He has been, according to Kurt Warner, one of the best, just as far as pure quarterback play, one of the best quarterbacks through 2 weeks. One interesting stat for those of us Vikings fans who are a little frustrated at how many three and outs we're needing to watch right now is the Indianapolis Colts have never had to punt. And some people are saying he's resembling Hurts, kind of like mixing in his passing game and some running game, which on one hand would make sense. Steichen came from Philadelphia, right? So it's an interesting phenomenon. I guess we could just talk about the game, period. But then is there any, even like both Sam Darnold in Seattle and then Jones has done it for 2 weeks, like they're both playing better than any Vikings QB right now. Should the Vikings have any sense of remorse for letting Daniel Jones walk out the door?
I have remorse in the sense that it's like, oh, now, yeah, I wish I had Daniel Jones. I think it made sense at the time. It made sense for him. He didn't want to, he wanted to go somewhere where he thought he had a better shot at starting. Makes total sense. Mm-hmm. And it turns out he was right. Not only was he right, but he, whatever confidence he had in himself was accurate. So far for two games. I'm super happy for him. I would absolutely rather have Daniel Jones than Carson Wentz right now, but I just don't know that realistically going back, I would have wanted. I was pretty happy with the direction that they were going. The only thing I would have changed is that I would have liked Daniel Jones to be our backup. Like, I wouldn't have wanted them to change their direction with McCarthy. I just would have preferred Daniel Jones to be our backup. And you just can't force a guy to do that if he doesn't want to.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm happy for him. It is interesting seeing the Colts, because that's definitely a team that I slept on. If they are this good, it'll be interesting to see. Last year there were the Saints. There were a couple other teams. Who was it? The Saints. And there were three teams. The Saints. And the Vikings and one other team. And people did do you put stock in them for the future or whatever? And
was
everybody
it the Browns
put stock.
Or was the it, Broncos?
Maybe it was the Browns. But whatever teams it was,
I remember the exact clip that you're referring to from NFL Network or something.
They put their stock in the other two teams and not in the Vikings. And the other two collapsed and the Vikings went on to win 14 games.
Yeah.
And was it the Falcons? I can't remember. Because the Falcons early on, wasn't it week two, the Falcons beat the Eagles? And people were thinking they were looking good. Yeah. Anyway, I'm curious to see, is this one of those teams that ends up starts out hot? They've scored well. Their offense has looked well, but then kind of peters out, or is this what it's going to be? I'm happy for Daniel Jones. Happy for Shane Steichen, because I think Steichen is a good coach. Happy for my brother-in-law, who's an Indianapolis Colts fan, and just bummed the way the Vikings week two went.
Who's an Indianapolis Colts fan? You said a brother-in-law?
Jaren.
Oh, okay. I forgot.
He's from Indiana. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think that's it. That wraps up our review. There's definitely other games that we overlooked, but these are the games that it's our show. We chose to highlight these games. And so if you would rather
deal with it,
where the frustration that we feel sometimes watching mainstream media, we're going to just let other people feel on our behalf as we subjectively or arbitrarily decide which games we're going to go over. In our next episode, we're going to go over our picks for week three. So if you're interested in whether or not we think the Vikings are going to win, or whether or not we think the Packers are going to stay hot, or if the Lions are going to come back down to earth or whatever you might be interested in, we go through all 16 games and pick the winners and the losers. And it's interesting how Christopher and I keep a record of our picks and a standings. And it may or may not be a surprise who is doing better at their picks so far. Obviously, if you're just joining us, you don't know what we picked last week and the week before that. But let's just say I beat Christopher last year in 2024. So come back next or in our next episode and you'll see if I'm continuing to beat him or if the tables have turned. Yes, it's funny, Joe. All right, we'll talk to you guys later.
See ya.